Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We're glad that you join us each week for a few moments of Bible study and reflection upon what is good and important and spiritual in life and our relationship with God, and we hope that you'll stay with us for the next few minutes. You can do better. That's the theme of our lesson this morning. I believe you can do better. I believe I can do better. We can all improve. And I want you to think about that for the next few minutes, friends. I'm not going to be talking this morning about improving your financial status. I'm not going to talk about how to improve your social standing in the community or your education or your material wealth. I'm going to talk about how that you can do better and improve yourself in your relationship with God. I believe a lot of people in life today are just going around. They get up each day and they just live their life thinking that the spiritual level that they're at, whether it's zero or something a little bit above zero, is perfectly fine, and they're okay. And they don't need to make any change. They don't need to make any improvement. They don't need to do any better. They don't need to grow in any kind of way. They're just perfectly fine. And that's a lie of the devil. The devil gets us to thinking that we just need to stay where we're at in a lost relationship. And so this morning I want to encourage you that you and I can do better. And we're going to talk about improvement in God's way, so that we know that our improvement is the right thing. As I said before, there are a lot of people in life that just go through life at their current level in life, and they're fine with that. And there are a number of reasons why people don't want to improve. Some might be just perfectly satisfied with the status quo. They're stagnant, and they're okay with that. And they don't want to change it. Others are maybe just outright lazy. They know they need to improve, but they're not going to do it. It's too much work, too much effort, too much time involved. Others don't want to improve because they believe what people are telling them, and people are telling them that they're fine. They believe what they're told. And so they don't want to make any changes. Some, I think, want to improve, and you might be like this, but you don't know the way. We want to do better. We want to change. We just don't know how to do that. And we're going to talk about that this morning, how we can do better. And I think others are assuming they are doing their best already. There's no reason to improve because I'm at the top of my game and I'm already fine. So whether it's mediocrity and satisfaction or laziness or believing what other people tell us or not knowing the way or assuming that we are right already or some other reason, many people don't want to improve. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read verses 9 through 12. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. If you're in a position where you can look at your Bible, the Hebrew writer encourages Christians to improve and do better. And we can apply this principle this morning, whether we are a Christian or not, the importance of God wanting us to improve. if we're not a Christian, our improvement, of course, would begin with obeying the gospel, being baptized into Christ, and becoming a faithful Christian. That would be the first step in improvement. If we already are a New Testament Christian, we can improve, as we're going to see in just a minute, by growing and becoming more faithful. But we can all do better. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, writes, "But beloved," he loved these Christians, those to whom he was writing, he loved them, but he told them that they can do better. Love does not ignore improvement, it encourages it. So he writes, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you." You can do better. "And things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward his name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even to the end, and that you be not sluggish, but be imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So you're already ministering and doing some things, but you need to do even more so that you don't go back the wrong direction away from Christ. These Christians could have better spiritual things if they would stay with Christ instead of falling away, and they themselves can do better. They can work more. They can show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even to the end. They don't need to be sluggish, lazy, but always be growing and always being active. And so when the writer says, "We are persuaded better things of you," I want to use that as an idea for you can do better. In the New Testament, we find improvement on God's terms and in God's way. Let's look at a few of these. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Jesus taught the parable of those who were given talents. And God expects in this parable to teach the lesson of growing and gaining more talents. The one talent man, the two talent man, and the five talent man. The five talent man gained more, five. The two talent man gained two more, but the one talent man didn't do anything with it. And Jesus is trying to teach a lesson, in addition to a number of good lessons here, to multiply and grow and add and gain more. And so we find that the five-talent man who had gained five more, he was told, "Well done, good and faithful servant," Matthew 25:21. And the two-talent man who had gained two more was told, "Well done, good and faithful servant," verse 23. But the one-talent man who, because of fear, went out and buried his talent in the earth and didn't do anything with it, he's described as a wicked and slothful servant. His talent was to be taken away from him. He was to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So God is teaching improvement in the parable of the talents. God is teaching improvement in bearing more fruit in John chapter 15. When we're connected to Jesus Christ, we can bear spiritual fruit, but we can't stagnate and just do a little. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. So improvement and growth is implied there. We've got to continue bearing more fruit for the Lord each and every day. Another place where improvement is taught is by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, in the idea where he said there he was a Christian. He was an older Christian. He had done a lot for the Lord, but he says, I need to press on. Excuse me. I need to press on. I need to grow. And so, Philippians 3:13, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfected, be thus minded. That is the mind to press on and forget what we've done before and move on to new things. Growing, in other words. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. The idea of improvement is found there. Paul writes, finally, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord that as you received of us how you ought to walk, that is, living the Christian life, and to please God, even as you do walk, that you abound more and more. The word abound there is the idea of excelling, growing. You're already walking as a Christian. Do more in your service for Christ. Do better in your service for Christ. Have a greater quality of service for Christ than you've had in the past. Abound more and more. The idea of improvement is taught by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he talks about various what we call Christian graces or Christian qualities that are to be added to our faith. We need to grow and move on beyond the initial stages of being a Christian. We need to improve by becoming a Christian. And maybe that's you. And then after we are baptized into Christ, we need to improve upon that and add to that. And so Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, and verse 5, yea, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, there's the idea of growing also, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never stumble, for thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then at the end of the book, this book opens with adding to your faith, and it closes with the very last verse, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so growth, Peter is encouraging here at the beginning and end of his book. What we find here, friends, is that improvement is not an option. When it comes to God and what he wants for us, improvement is not an option. We're to be gaining more talents. We're to be bearing more fruit. We're to be pressing on. We're to be abounding more and more. We're to be adding to our faith. And one last thought here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We're also to be growing. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Putting away therefore all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that's God's word, spiritual milk, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. And so Peter talks also about growth. Paul talks about growth in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. And doing better. It's really taught throughout Scripture that we can't stay at a status quo level. Paul says in Ephesians 4, 15, but speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies, according to the working and measure of each individual part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. So you have the word grow, increase, and building up. Improvement is not an option. And so in the remainder of our program this morning, I want to look at 10 things that you can do to improve your spiritual standing in relationship with God. 10 steps you can take. Got a piece of paper, want to jot them down? Might be good to post somewhere and keep them in front of your eyes where we can make those improvements like we should, and we can start doing that today. Number one, don't be satisfied with the status quo. Don't be satisfied with just staying where you're at. In the book of Hebrews that we read earlier, we read chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. If you start earlier in chapter 5, verse 11, and read down through there, you find that some of the Christians had gotten to the point where they weren't growing anymore, and they weren't able to teach anyone. Chapter 5, 11 through 14, they needed to be taught again the basic principles. They weren't moving past the basic principles and doctrines and lessons of God's Word, chapter 6, verses 1 through 1 and 2. And so, this whole section works together with the idea of growth and growing up. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. In Revelation 3:17, the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. They weren't real hot, they weren't real cold, they were just lukewarm, and they were satisfied with that. We're fine, Revelation 3:17. Don't encourage us to do any more. Don't shake us up. Don't stir us up. Leave us alone. And a lot of people are like that. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Number two, be mindful of your dependence upon God. The way we bear more fruit is to stay connected to Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus makes a great statement there. It makes a great lesson in and of itself. And that is that apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. That is quite a statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to be dependent upon God and Jesus for our spiritual well-being. And even they provide physical things for us, of course. But we have to stay connected to God and Jesus if we're going to do better. We can't bear the fruit that we need to bear apart from them. Number three, we can associate more with God and with other Christians. Become a Christian and associate more with God and other Christians. Read your Bible more. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Associate with other Christians in worshiping on the first day of the week. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27. Let's not forsake the assembling. So many people use their Sundays for secular things rather than spiritual things. The more we associate with God, the more we improve spiritually. And so more prayer, more reading our Bible, more associating with other faithful Christians will, you'll see an immediate improvement in your life. Number four, improve your soul, not just your surroundings. A lot of people will do home improvement. They'll do car restoration. They'll improve. They'll go to the barber or the beauty salon and improve their hairstyle. They'll improve their clothes. But none of that changes our relationship with God. We've got to take care of our soul. If a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what does it profit? Matthew 16:26. In Luke 12:16-20, Jesus talked about a farmer who was rich and he had all kinds of money and he was doing very well as a businessman, and there's nothing wrong with doing well in business. I hope that you're doing well in your business. But the problem was, Luke 12:20, he had not taken care of his soul. He had taken care of his barns and his business and his money, but not his soul. So, number four, improve your soul, not just your surroundings. Number five, remove whatever it is that is holding you back, namely sin. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talks about putting aside every weight in the sin that does so easily beset us and run the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If we're going to run the so-called Christian race toward heaven, we've got to lay aside sin. That's what's holding us back. That's what's keeping our marriage from improving, and our family from improving, and our personal lives from improving. We've got to remove every weight in the sin that does so easily beset us. And the psalmist David, when he had sinned with Bathsheba, recognized this principle and recognized the importance of confessing sin and removing that. And today, that begins with hearing the gospel and believing it, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and being baptized for the remission of our sins, and that sin will be washed away. Acts 22:16, just like Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, he washed away his sins. In Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5, David talks about how that he had held his sin in and didn't do anything with it. Then verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity did I not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Of course, this is under the old law, the old covenant. That's what David needed to do. Today, under the new law, the law of Christ, we need to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. And if we have sinned after becoming a Christian, Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, we need to repent and pray for forgiveness. But remove the sin that's holding us back. Number six, remember you are being watched. God is watching us, but people are also watching us. And we're supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Matthew 5:13-16. We're supposed to be setting an example for others around us, including young people, are to set a good example. 1 Timothy 4:12, be an example to others. And when we remember that, we're going to want to improve to give the best example that we can to those who are closest to us. We don't want to give them a mediocre example, a lazy example, a worldly example. We want to give them the new and improved example that which is in a right relationship with God. Number 7, you can take an inventory of yourself and myself using God's mirror. We can examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. We can look into the perfect law of liberty, James 1, 25. God's mirror, the Bible is God's mirror, and we can look into that to see if we are right with Him. And just like you would look in a regular mirror and you see reality there, good or bad, when you look into God's mirror, the scripture, you see yourself for who you really are. That mirror of God's word will not lie to you. And if we will take time to take an inventory, then we know where to start and where we need to go. If we never read our Bible, we never see those areas that we can improve upon. And so let me encourage you, as we all should do, to take a spiritual inventory of ourselves using the Bible, God's mirror. And then, number 8, actually improve. Don't just talk about it. A lot of people talk about weight loss, but they won't lose weight. A lot of people talk about exercise, but they won't exercise. A lot of people talk about improvement, but they won't do it. It's easy to talk about it, but let's get up and do it and make those necessary changes. Number 9, live each day as if it were your last. Our life is like a vapor, James 4:14. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We're here one day, we're gone the next. And knowing that we don't have all the time in the world that we want in this life, we have a limited amount of time. It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. We need to get up and get busy and get serious about our improvement. One day will be our last day, and we don't know when that's going to come. So get up today and make that spiritual improvement that we need to make. And then finally, and related to that, is that if we will always have the judgment day always on our mind, it will encourage us to improve. Jesus said some will go away into eternal life, Matthew 25:46, and some will go away into eternal destruction. Heaven or hell, those are the only two destinies that each of us face. We're all traveling down one of two roads, the road to heaven or the road to hell. And so if we would always have that judgment day in our mind, it will encourage us to make the necessary improvements where we would get off the road to hell and get on that road to heaven. Friend, you can do better. I can do better. Don't be satisfied with mediocrity, but do what God wants you to do to be in a right relationship with Him and be ready when His Son comes again. Thank you for joining us on the program, and if we can help you to make that improvement, please contact us. Thank you, and we hope that you'll have a good day.